everybody, and welcome to another episode of Naruto Reviewto, a Naruto rewatch podcast. My name is Kim, and I'm joined today by Jesse.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jesse.
And Tim.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here. Golly geez, the best episode of Naruto. Wow.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah. We are talking about episodes 19 through 21 on this episode, and we are so fucking hyped.
Yes.
Because like you said, they are some of the best.
It's much later in the evening than we're used to. I think we got a little too hyped previous episode. We're recording this mid-February, late February, I think is a better way to say it. But it is so interesting having back-to-back, like, badass, like, best episodes, which also makes sense, right? Because the show's been building and building and building.
Mm-hmm.
This episode 19, oh my god, this episode's so good. I'm so glad that this podcast exists so that I can scream with buds about it.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Well, before we get into that, we got some Naruto facts. Feet Jesse. Jesse facts in the morning.
We call her the Skiz. I was trying to think of a drive to radio, and I was like, don't say. The fucking meatloaf.
Meatloaf.
The garbage plate and meatloaf in the morning.
Perfect description of my personality, to be honest.
Poutine and garbage plate join up with wah wah.
Oh my god.
It's later.
Great.
I'm sorry.
Oh my god. Okay,
sponsored
great.
Sponsored by Diet Pepsi.
So, in light of episode 19, for the Naruto facts, I am going to talk about Sakuga. Cool. So, what is Sakuga? Some people may know this, some people not. Basically, Sakuga is whenever the animation decides to just fucking snap. usually it's used on scenes that are meant to cause the audience to feel like an extreme amount of emotion, or typically fight scenes.
Yes.
Which is what it is particularly used for. Actually, I'd say both are used for episode 19 here. These scenes are created by key animators who are highly skilled specifically in Sakuga. So they usually don't do the rest of the show. They are literally just animators for Sakuga. And, like, that's their thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's extremely cool. And I'll get into it more. But, like, each animator has, like, a different style and a different thing that they're known for. And, like, that is usually why they're brought onto specific shows. So if you can't think of what Sakuga is, honestly, episode 19 is a really great example of what Sakuga is. However, Studio Trigger is another incredible example of how Sakuga is continuously used in their series to amplify them and make them some of the most memorable series, like, of all time. So you're going to see heavy amounts of Sakuga used in Gurren Lagann, Kill la Kill, Little Witch Academia, where it's just like whenever there's like a highly climactic moment and the animation is just going off, that's Sakuga.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So
was when Naruto went black and white, was that Sakuga?
No, that wouldn't be considered Sakuga. I think that was just a special effect that they decided to use. Sakuga is when, like, literally the animation becomes more fluid.
Okay. I was...
Fight scene, yeah.
I was hearing it as the opposite of, like, being more painterly, but that's mm-hmm. that's pretty rad that it's more fluid.
Yeah, it's
more expressionistic.
Yeah. Like, so it's more, like, fluid in a way of, like, motions seem more human-like in a way of, like, punches are going to hit harder because Sakuga animators specifically focus on, like, how a punch is going to hit very hard and how they're going to time the framing to make that punch really effective or that kick, like, really hit hard.
Gotcha.
So if things like that or, like, really detailed, like, facial animations. Like, in episode 19 that we're going to talk about, Naruto has a speech where he talks to Zabuza and, like, and his face is showing so much emotion That's also Sakuga. So it's whenever the animation, like, you see the show for what it is, mm-hmm. and, like, you see it a little differently almost. Like, it yeah. literally changes the yeah. structures of the show so that these scenes can become more memorable for you and become, like, just stuck in your brain and, like, really draw as much emotion out of you as possible.
I feel like it's pretty surface level that episode 19 here looks different, like starting from when Naruto kind of like turns around and like does this huge emotion face. I think the way that you described it, I think I was thinking of it too much as like using the medium of anime to convey, and it seems like it's not necessarily, it's like kind of over exaggerating sometimes but also being more realistic. I'm glad that you defined it, because when you first were talking about it, I was like, oh, it must be when they get so – they use the animation to their benefit like they did Black and White in the previous episode. Yeah. So that's so cool to hear.
Yeah, it's more like they use the skill of the animator to their benefit rather than special effects.
So someone's like, that's more frames. That's so cool. That's so cool. That's so cool. Yeah, this episode like rules for 14 different reasons, and I love that one of the reasons it rules is Sakuga. Like, I have so many questions. When they budget an anime, like, oh, this is the Sakuga one, this is what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. Because – I'll talk a little bit about this too. So if you want to learn more about Sakuga, again, I'm not an expert. I'm just a hyper fan. There's an incredible blog. There's an incredible blog called SakugaBoru.com.
Yeah, I just Googled it and that came up. Yeah.
Yep. It's BORU.com. And they also run a Twitter account. It's called, oh my God, I had it up here and now it's gone. I think it's called like Daily Sakuga or something.
Yeah. when I Googled it, I saw something from Samurai Champloo. And before I understood the meaning, I'm like, this isn't black and white, or this is not ping pong animation. And then when Jesse corrected me, it was like, oh, yeah, no, you, instead of seeing it, when Naruto was destroying other mirrors, they were cutting out scenes in between. And I was very smart. I was so smart when I said, it wasn't very clear. And that's what I meant. I knew what Sakuga was there. And, you know, I'm saying right now that I learned it just now, but, you know, I knew it an hour ago for sure.
Right. No, it
you can see, like, you like, feel the move of everything. Yeah. And when he was breaking the mirrors, it's simply, you know, something that I've always said, and you guys are like, Tim, shut up. This is not Sakuga, is what I said.
And, like, I've been doing transformation sequence for 5 years, and I have never heard this term before. So I learned something cool and new today, and I'm very excited.
Jesse, when you said it in the chat, I know that you like a specific animator in Naruto, and I thought Sakuga was their last name.
Me That's too. So funny. Me too.
That's so funny.
The animator I was talking about is Norio Matsumoto, who we will get into at a later point in time for sure. So Sakuga, and the Twitter account I was talking about is literally just called Random Sakuga. I follow them, and they just post, like, literally random scenes from anime that are animated for Sakuga, or done Sakuga
That's
style.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's extremely cool. Like I said, if you want to learn more, I highly suggest you check out the Sakuga Boru.
They have...
blog
so many more followers than we do. They have 148,000 compared to our 111. Good for them.
They're very popular. And what I'm planning on doing too is, like, when we're talking about Sakuga accounts, they're usually really good and they have a lot of Naruto content, so I'm probably just going to retweet whatever episode we're talking about and when the episode airs, so you'll be able to follow the Twitter and see the specific scenes that I'm talking about.
That's so... Jesse, you're cool. That's cool. You're cool.
You're almost as cool as anime.
Thank you. Cool. So I'm going to talk about the specific animator who did episode 19.
Woo, hell yeah.
His name is Tetsuya Takuichi, and I'm very sorry if I mispronounced that. I tried my hardest. but he does this episode of Sakuga of basically Zabuza, you know, chomping his kunai and attacking everyone. he is also known for doing Sakuga scenes for Sword Art Online, Haikyuu, Ghost in the Shell, one of the Evangelion movies, and Sailor Moon. Yep.
So, damn, so he's been in the business for a while, fucking Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah. He actually will also do like key animation direction. So what happens is when a Sakuga animator is brought on, they are called a key animator for the episode. So Tetsuya Takuichi is the key animator for episode 19 here. I will also post a YouTube video of a compilation of all of his Sakuga like scenes that he does on the Twitter account when this episode airs, so you can also watch out for that. He will also be back for more Naruto episodes later on, and is known for some of the more iconic scenes in Naruto.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you pointed this out, because it to me I just thought that like, oh, this is an animator who does said things, and it reminded me of various realistic animes that I've seen. It was like, oh, this feels Berserk to me. This feels that weird sub anime that was on Toonami that one time with a mermaid creature whose titty balls were out, and my daddy wouldn't let me watch anime. I don't know what that one's called, but I should probably re-look it up because maybe it's weird and horny. I don't know. I'm 33 right now. It's cool. Where like shows randomly get either consistent. Like I bet there are shows that exist that try to do this style throughout, and like, oh god, this is $49 billion, what am I doing? So that's super rad and to hear. Like, obviously you don't need a Sakuga animator for Naruto shaking his milk and Ichimaru. What's the bad boy? What's the boy Kunimaru.
Oh, Kunimaru.
Yeah. He deserves zero of this. Please, Scooch.
Imagine Sakuga him getting choked the fuck out by Konkura. I'll pay for that.
Please.
God, please. Give us this
I've
treat.
Been so good this year. I've been bad, but you know.
So, speaking of these episodes, including Konohamaru getting choked the fuck out like he deserves, let's get into episode 19.
Yes.
Demon in the Snow. Gato brought his backup boys to the bridge to kill Zabuza because paying him would have been too expensive. He disses him good. Zabuza's like, well, fuck, if I'm not getting paid, I've got no beef with Kakashi, so they call a truce. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. The first note I have here is, how did they ... get over there? Because they just appear at the dead end of the bridge.
They do show the boat. Yeah. They show the boat.
They do show
at the end. But yeah, you know, you're totally right.
They must be the most stealth climbers of all time.
The mist was there, baby. I know they said it was going away, but like it went away from Zabuza, so the mist was still back.
Oh.
No, I don't know.
Gato kicks Haku's corpse just in case he forgot he was a villain.
Bro, do not.
Hated this. Yeah. Big hate.
On my watch, no. Do not do this, please.
Do not disrespect our boy.
We love Haku, that murderous boy.
Naruto calls Zabuza out for not getting fucking rip shit at this extreme disrespect, but he tells him that he was just using Haku like Gato used him. Yeah. Harsh, man. Shinobi are just tools after all.
The way that he yells here, like, if I had not heard Jesse's explanation, I would have just been like, oh, this is the show now. The show now is going to lean in, like, just his, like, Naruto's eyes throughout this entire episode. All of his emotions are so, like, And I was kind of like trite to say like up to 11, but I think in this case it makes sense because 10 is the most they could do normally. And then they brought in specialists to like, you know, as the meme is, bring it up to 11. And yeah, when he turns around, man, and his face is like his eyes are bugging out and his frown is 180% a frown. Yeah, you know, I think as an animation, this totally, you can make a boy's face, a fox boy's face, do such an extreme frown, and that was so good to see. And it felt like, you know, we said last episode when Naruto punched Haku, it felt like that. You know, like it was something so visceral.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Like they paid a lot of attention to, is like, this is gonna sound like so fucking jerk offy, but they paid attention to the muscles that cause expressions, because like, I went to art school, and like one of the things that we had to study in anatomy is like which muscles are engaged when you make certain expressions. Like they got the nose wrinkle that happens when you're angry, like there's a certain way that your skin is pulled when you're upset. They fucking nailed in this. Like there is no shorthand, they went all the fucking way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, how you were talking about it, Tim, I, and again, like, I just love it when animation recognizes what it is and is, like, we can like, amplify this in a way that breaks reality.
Yeah.
But it works for animation because they recognize what they're working with. And I am just, like, I'm obsessed with that. I like it when they break from reality and they are like, we are going to show, because, like, that's what art is to me, is when it, like, breaks from
reality. Yes! Yes, Jesse!
Yes. Someone responded to me, like, I think somewhat in a joking way, but also not a joking way, of like, oh, I didn't realize Naruto was that deep. And it was kind of funny because they were referring to, you know, something that wasn't deep while I was watching these episodes, and I was like, bro, you know, like as I'm watching like Naruto invent angles for a frown, as I'm watching Zabuza, you know, just going full feral kunai mouth wielding hours was something that was like so I'm struggling to not use a word that I used, that we have used 16 seconds ago. It's just, don't say feral, don't say, you know, primal. It's just like,
Sicko mode.
Yeah, sicko mode. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It just works so well.
Yeah. And Jesse, yes. So I cannot underline your point enough. Just like the super reality that you're able to bring across through animation as opposed to just through film. Mm-hmm. It's yum. I love it.
Art is different, and that's good sometimes.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Yes. Because they just use it to their advantage to, like, exaggerate features in a way that makes you literally feel more emotions than, like, what a live action would be able to do in most scenarios.
Mm-hmm. Naruto asks him, for real, dude? Fucking seriously? Haku loved your whole ass and you're just gonna do him dirty like this? Man. You got no emotions, huh? You a little sociopath, huh? You go to sociopath school to major in no emotions? And he has an iconic line here where it's just like, that's too painful. To live just as a tool, not as a whole human being, is too painful.
Does Naruto say that?
Yeah, Naruto says that.
That's so good.
It's so good.
It's good.
That's deep shit for this little boy.
I love Naruto's entire fucking speech. I love him reading the fuck out of Zabuza and being like, how are you not sad that your, like, lover literally fucking died in front of you, and then you were about to cut him, cleave him in fucking half without hesitation? Like, literally, what's wrong with you? And I love that it's so effective that Zabuza starts to fucking, like, weep.
Tim Lanning just got a little emotional right now just thinking about it. Like, so much of this, it's so silly to me, like, this fucking poopy butthole show where they fart and make fun of girls being weak, like, is, and you know, Sakura's forehead being big, like, this whole fucking thing, like, of Naruto being like, fuck this world. I am not accepting this reality. I am not a tool. Yeah. I will not live a world devoid of emotions. And Zabuza, fuck you, dude. And then, like, cutting from Naruto, who's supposed to be the clown, to Zabuza just fucking sobbing. Like,
yes!
I'm still, like, I've seen this episode. I did not remember this at all. Like, Zabuza dies in this thing. Yeah. And the joke is that, like, in our G-chat, I think it was Jesse was like, wait, you don't remember who dies? I was like, I knew Haki died. But I forgot that Zabuza died too.
Yeah.
And this whole thing is just like, I know you guys were talking about that they don't do a lot of redemption arcs, and I don't think they do. I think Zabuza goes out like a badass motherfucker without a redemption arc, because he's not, you know, I could totally, even, you know, pretty close when he had all the knives and the swords in his back and a couple points down, I was like, okay, I can totally see Zabuza showing up in, you know, episode 300. Like, hey man, I'm here now. I'm still gonna fucking destroy the village of the mist. Waka waka. But playing against the way in which we knew Sasuke was not dead is inverse to how much Zabuza's turn works. Like, all of us knew that Sasuke is obviously not dead, but Zabuza turning on Gato, killing all of Gato's goons, worked. But then, like, him being extremely murdered and then going and keep going and going and going, and then by the end, all the things he does by the end of the episode, like, it played against type without switching his character.
Yes.
It was still his character the entire time.
Yes.
And it's, I almost feel shitty to say this. It's like, I almost feel like, this is bad to say. I almost feel like Naruto doesn't deserve sort of, Naruto has earned this turn by doing this turn. That is circular logic. But, like, at this point, Naruto has not done anything like this. Naruto has done things that have been so emotional and made sense, but, like, so much, I hope, of what Naruto going forward is, God, I hope it's this. Like, this is bananas to me from a shonen anime. Like, this, this turned, I was having a blast and a half with Naruto, but this was bafflingly good. Like, so good, so good.
And to me, this is why Naruto is my favorite shonen protagonist, and he does have, for as much of a, like, literal doo-doo idiot as he is, he has such high emotional intelligence,
yes.
Mm-hmm. And he's able to express in a very moving way
right.
the feelings that he has and just, like, the discord he feels within the society he's in and his values. And it's just like, I love this little dude. I love this little Naruto. And, like, he has a fucking panic attack later. Like, he is a protagonist who feels his emotions.
Yes.
He's not like Goku, who's just like, all I like do is eat and not kiss my wife on the mouth when I fuck her. Like, he's a fully realized character.
Yes.
And just, like, a lot of the stuff that he does is very real, like, acting out because, like, he doesn't have anyone to pay attention to him. Like,
yeah.
I love this little dude.
And I don't know how explicit this was on their end, but they are definitely playing within the trope of anime of character screaming their intent, but Naruto is screaming his intent to defy the stars of his world.
Yes.
And it feels exactly the same, but so completely different, of being like, fuck this world, I am not a tool, I will cry and I will fight. And yeah, no, I mean, it like, it's zany how much this works.
And speaking of, like, the Shakespearean, like, defy the stars, he is the Pyrrho who speaks the truth. He is the Pyrrho that flips the standards of the world on its head. And I love him.
God.
I think, like, I've said this, like, many times, but I do think Naruto the show is very masterful at character development and character emotional growth. They tap into it, and they tap into it in such, like, a deep way that many shonen or many, like, hyper popular animes, they just miss that beat. Like, they just miss it, where it's like, cool, you know, I'm happy you love your friends, and I think that's great.
Yeah.
And I'm not, like, dissing on any particular anime. Like, I think all anime, like, has their strengths and weaknesses and stuff, but, like, the show Naruto really manages to take it to, like, the next emotional level every single time there are these, like, climactic endings or these climactic, like, big meetings of powerful beings or whatever. And I just think it's like, it's really masterfully done. And it's, mm-hmm. it's in a way where it's like, you just feel it like so much.
Yeah.
You feel what Naruto's saying, and you feel Zabuza when he goes fucking wild. Like yes. this entire time, and this is the banana thing about this show, is like the entire time you are against Zabuza.
Yes.
You don't like him. The show is building him up for you to hate. And then when he fucking goes like ape shit at the end here, you're rooting for him. Like in a snap of a finger.
Right.
And it's wild that like a show can do that.
And half of Frog Theory and half of Haku Theory is that whatever bullshit time they waste will be paid off. And I think that half of Haku Theory is that Zabuza, his switch, he's not a good guy. He's going to murder these. You can't murder these thugs. Let's agree to that, right? It's justified. He's going to fucking kill these dudes. And he's not a good guy. It's right. immediate. It's immediate. Mm-hmm. And it still completely works. And yeah, no, this is,
Cause like you said, it's still in his character to do this. It's not outside of his.
It's revenge, right?
Mm-hmm. 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 Cause at this point he's lost everything. We'll talk about the switch, but just like he's lost his chance to gain money to redo his coup in the Hidden Mist village. He's lost his special buddy. Like he has nothing. He has nothing anymore.
Slightly problematic.
Yeah, his problem. At least it's not like Cardcaptor Sakura, where like
we don't know how old Zabuza is, and I've seen anime. Yes. Everyone's roughly 15 to 17. So who's to say?
Oh my god. Turns out Zabuza's only 17.
I mean,
he just looks really old.
If Ichigo can be 15, you know, Zabuza can be 16.
Yeah, honestly, fair.
You're not wrong. Yeah, so.
Okay, Zabuza is 26 years old, though.
Seriously?
Oh.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Can you difference?
As someone that does a podcast about our relationships, that's a yikes.
Yeah, yikes.
My dad married much younger, so it's okay. It's all good, baby.
There are outliers.
Oh my god.
Please do not say how old a Haku is, so if we don't get canceled, move on. I know you said it before.
Zabuza says, "Please stop dunking on me, little boy," as he cries. Turns out he does have emotions. After all,
I rewound this several times.
It's good.
I blamed being late tonight on Rock Lee, but I had to watch a couple of. I watched several scenes over again tonight, and this was one of them. I was like, I cannot believe he's crying. That was a lot.
Oh, yeah.
When you see the teardrops on the ground and then it pans up to him and he's just a snotty mess.
Right, that's why I rewound it because I thought it was Naruto. I was like, wait a second, wait. No, that looked like Zabuza. Let me rewind it. I was on my phone.
Right, but like that's totally fair though because the entire time the show is like, Zabuza's a monster. He's a monster. Yeah. He's a killing monster. He doesn't care who stands in his way. And like literally in the last episode, like I said before, he is about to cleave Haku's corpse in fucking half for a chance to kill Kakashi.
Yes.
So it is like a crazy turn where it's like he's crying all of a sudden and it's because of like Naruto's soliloquy on feelings. And I cannot believe
it worked.
It's good.
Like
right.
I'm in the moment 110% where I'm like I Naruto seeing the dead boar and figuring out he needs to turn around to save Bucket Boy. Cannot believe that worked. That's not the same way that I'm saying this. This felt real, you know?
Yeah.
It's good as
My notes are, Zabuza is a piss and is canceled. Zabuza having feelings is a lot for me. Did someone else fucking animate this? Forgot to take notes because I was freaking out. And then I check back in the last 6 minutes, so...
Perfect. Very good. So Zabuza tells Naruto that Haku was a super kind little dude and didn't want to make him kill, and that he's glad that they got to fight them in the end, which is just like, oh, damn, death of dignity.
Yeah.
Who would have guessed? He asks for a kunai and holds it in his teeth because he can't use his arms. Dude uses only his mouth to kill a ton of henchmen, and there's a dick-sucking joke in there somewhere, but I couldn't find it.
I did just write down, chop.
He chop.
He chomp it.
He chop. He chop kunai.
In the way that his, and Jesse, please correct me, the way that his arms flap behind them, so sakuga. Ooh. So is that right? The way, or is it a noun? Is it a verb? Is it an adjective? Is it a gerund? It's a gerund, isn't it? It is sakuga to me. The way his arms flapped.
It really is.
God, it's good. It's like, good. Yeah.
Kakashi like fucking cuts the tendons, so they would just like fly right. around in the background.
Like, he can't. That in it's good because it's like if they were stiff, it wouldn't make it realistic anymore because like. It means that his arms are working if he can hold them a specific position. And because, like, he literally can't, they are flapping behind him. And it's, like, fucked up, but it's so effective. At, like, this man is literally killing, like, tens of men with his fucking mouth. And he's so relentless.
A dream, right?
Also, that's how I run, too. I let my little...
Yes. I've seen it before. Yeah, linked the random Sakuga tweet from October 3rd, 2019. I retweeted on February 19th, and maybe we'll retweet it when we release this. Is there a good way to take a note of that? I don't know, because we have no idea when we release this episode based on... The podcast has not been accepted to iTunes yet as the past couple days, which is going to, like, slightly shift our weeks, yada, yada, yada. But, like... All you need to know from what Jesse said about Sakuga is the way that Zabuza's little arms flap behind him. I think that is like such a perfect descriptor of it.
Mm-hmm. Before Zabuza can kill Gato, he gets stabbed with a million bajillion swords. He says Haku is going to heaven, but he's going to take Gato with him to hell.
Great line.
I loved this speech so much. I loved Zabuza being like, I'm going to hell and I'm dragging you down with me. And I'm naturally a fucking demon, so I'm going to be just fine. But you, buddy, you're not going to have a good time. Oh, it was so good.
Yeah. He's like, you know what happens to demons of the Hidden Mist? They go to hell and they turn into little demons and they're going to poke your little ass with a pitchfork.
Yes. Yes.
Have you watched The Good Place? I'm going to put bees in your dick.
And then he mouth knifes Gato to death, which is a yeehaw moment.
Oh my God. When he's spinning around him, he steps on his glasses, and I thought that was going to be a moment where he slips or something. No, he just rolls with it, and he's just stabbing it. So they added that little bit of, like, extra Sakuga.
And it like, adds, like, more chaos to an already extremely chaotic scene of, like, Zabuza is completely, I'm going to repeat the word we said 5 minutes ago, but he's completely feral at this moment of, like, I am,
ding, the feral bell.
Yeah, the feral bell. But he totally has, like, tunnel vision. He's like, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to do everything in my possible powers to just kill you 100% dead.
Because before he kicks Haku because he's just like, your boyfriend grabbed my hand once and I'm going to piss on him once you're dead. And he's just like, oh, hell no. I will do everything within my power to kill you, bitch. Mm-hmm. And also, he loses his mouth knife, but he finds another knife on his body just to kill Gato.
Oh, he does? I missed that part.
Which is sick. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I have to exposition now real quick. Let me go grab another knife real quick.
His neck must be so fucking flexible.
Draft boy. Yeah, you know, and I think the fact that, like, I'm kind of curious, like, what the discussion was behind the scenes of him showing his face. And, you know, he looks like a dude, right? But
right.
Yeah.
Because, like, he says when he shows his face, he's like, what did you expect, a demon? I'm human just like you. And I, another great moment.
Iconic episode.
It is funny to me that I thought that we justified this podcast several episodes ago, but, like, I think this episode justifies it in spades. I mean, it is so good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 100% agree. Mm-hmm.
Everybody goes, damn, dude, and they clear a path as he walks to Haku. He apologizes to Haku and dies.
I do love that the bandits are so intimidated by him at this point in time that they're like, this man's literally on death's door, but I'm not touching him. Like,
not
I'm
worth it.
Officially afraid of him. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he can kill with his mouth.
Right, because they pretty much say, like, oh, you killed God. It's not just that they killed Gatu. They're like, okay, well, we're going to go into town and get our own money. And, you know, they scare him away from that. And that's when the rest of the mob shows up. But that being said, they still don't go after Zabuza.
Exactly.
Right.
And then I think we have to talk about face touch.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. That's in a second.
Oh,
that's
okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to jump the gun.
We'll get there.
We have a solid 14 minutes panned out for that one. I'm sorry, Gura. Is it Gura? What's his name?
Gato?
Gara. I'm sorry, Gara. You're not going to get as much flavor. We're going to have to lessen our Rock Lee scream fest because of Zabuza touching Haku's face.
Yeah, yeah. This is when Zabuza pulls a Kakashi and pretends to be dead for like 5 minutes. Kakashi tells Naruto not to look away because that was some hard shit. Sasuke isn't dead! Turns out he was nap-napping after all. Sakura fills him in on the shit he missed. The backup boys have learned nothing and decide that since Gato's dead, they're just gonna go pillage the village. But who should show up but Inari, along with all the pussy villagers? Woo. They are pussies no more!
I did just put Dish Mom in all caps because I was happy to see her there too.
Yes! She's got a fucking gun. She's about to kill.
I'm with her. I started drinking by the time I started watching this, and my notes to y'all were just like, I was like, oh my fucking God, this episode's so good. And then I joked, it was like, bucket hat bitch is not there, so it's bad. And then I go, oh my God, when bucket hat fucking upgrades to a walk.
Yes.
Because I was looking at my phone when he picked up the walk at the last thing. I'm a bad host. Please do not.
You're fine. I do that shit all the time when I don't have to do notes for transformations. To be perfectly honest.
Yeah, my notes literally go, "Welcome back, Sasuke, Porcupine Boy, Dish Mom. Oh my God, the bandits got there via boat."
Yeah. They all just, like, clamber off onto their stupid little tugboat and go straight to hell.
I like to think the ones that fall in the water die because they deserve it.
They just drown like that dog.
That dog was fine. Remember that fucking coward dog that was a bad guy for not saving Inari? Jesus Christ, what a weird show.
That dog is a true villain. Tazuna cries, thinking they're here because they love him and not because a small child guilted them into it. And so Kakashi and Naruto shadow clone bluff it, and the haters run away. All's well that ends well. Turns out Zabuza isn't fully dead, and he asks Kakashi to drag him over to Haku so he can look at him one last time. Snow is falling, fellas, and so are all these motherfucking tears. He touches Haku's face tenderly and says, if possible, he'd actually like to go to the same place as him after he's dead, which is... Mwah.
It's good. Kakashi doing shadow clone jutsu, I think, was really hot, in my opinion.
Kakashi style is good to me, actually.
Yes. Did love that. I do love how transactional Zabuza and Kakashi's, like, relationship is. Of, like, Zabuza, like, in the last episode, we talk about how Gato shows up and he's like, you're fired. And then Zabuza's like, we don't have beef anymore. Like, the guy who's paying me isn't paying me to fight you anymore. So, like, we're done. And then Kakashi, like, immediately respects that and is like, all right, I'm done fighting you, bro.
You're out of my bingo
book. Who?
Yes. And then I kind of, like, do love how you see this incredible moment from Zabuza where he, like, kills Gato and he kills a bunch of the bandits and stuff. And then, like, Kakashi respects his last wishes, which I just think is, like, I think it's very honorable and, like, sweet of him to do in a way that, like, he could have just left him there and, like, that would have been fine, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that the
ninjas are just,
for me as a baby watcher, is like shorthand of brothers in arms. So I'm not sure to what extent it's like, oh, we're mercenaries, so we don't give a fuck. But because like they set Zabuza up as being a bad boy, that in my mind, even Kakashi would want to burn his body because he's a rogue ninja or whatever.
Yeah. I think it does have to do with, like, when he tells Naruto before, just, like, don't look away. Like, there's a dude who's dying for his loved one. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, fucking respect, dude. Yeah. I know. I know what that's like.
Yeah,
and I think, too, like, I think this applies to real life a little bit, and then also a lot of anime where it's, like, it's the samurai way to show respect towards your adversary of, like, yes, you're fighting, yes, you're on the opposite side of each other, but, like, you still have this, like, honor or respect, like, balance there. And I don't think that's applicable in every single real-life application, but, like, I feel like there is that, like, there's that thing in humans where, like, you genuinely don't, like, want to kill other humans or necessarily, like, see them suffer.
I love to crush my enemies before.
See them driven. The lamentation of the women.
Yes, I love it.
But yeah,
Jesse, did you want to talk about the face touch?
I do want to talk about the face touch. I have so many mixed emotions about face touch. A part of me is like, it's really good and effective relationship wise. Like Zabuza loved Haku. Like he and like. The break, he like breaks and then he like fully breaks of like 100 walls of like emotional like barriers fall down all at the same time. And like that happened when Naruto got him to cry, and then it like 100% happens when he like face touches Haku. Now, it's highly problematic for a slew of reasons. The age thing is obviously a huge big old no-no, and, like, also, like, this is commonly done for, like, homoerotic relationships in a lot of media where they make it a younger person and an older person, and this is, like, a highly negative trope, and I completely understand why there's hate why there's negative emotions and resentment, because like it is fucked up and it sucks that like
it's bury your gaze, you know, in its own way too, but I don't know what the best way to say it is, because it is a shitty thing to say as an American, in how it relates to the age of consent. There's no chill way to dice that. There, you know, you don't want to accidentally say, well, well, in this culture, it's okay to do XYZ thing. So I will say that there are the way that anime broadly treats age is strange.
They play it very fast and loose.
It's Ichigo being 15 at the start of Bleach, while he's 46 feet tall and the strongest motherfucker on the planet. You know, you do find yourself
fully ripped man.
Yeah, you do sometimes find yourself as an anime watcher saying things like XYZ person is hot, and then you have to sort of backtrack of saying a 17-year-old or a 16-year-old or whatever. That's not a justification.
Right.
I think there's probably two extremely well thought out sides, but I'm choosing to approach the fact that the baddest motherfucker they've introduced to the show is spending his last moments like caressing softly a dude's face. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Yes, I'm ignoring a dump truck of yikes, you know, but and maybe it's even shittier to ignore.
You can get them.
Yeah. And it's maybe even shittier to ignore the yikes and being like, oh, this is just what they do, which is maybe even worse in the long run. I'm not sure. But like, I don't know.
You could still enjoy media while critiquing
yes.
it.
That's absolutely.
My sort of
yes.
line.
Yep.
So I enjoy this. I enjoy yes. their little relationship while yes. also knowing that, ooh, oh boy, it's got some problems.
Yeah, even if Haku was 18 and Zabuza was 26, there's still a horrific power dynamic. Yeah. Of there the yes. entire time that some yeah. people don't entirely understand it is bad and wrong, right? I'm not, like Kim said, you know, sometimes you enjoy things. I'm not excusing it. I'm right. I'm simply trying to look at media that is treating or is that is doing something so obviously not even queer, gay, right? And even though it's not handling it the best for several different reasons, the fact that they, you know, Zabuza's last scene, you know, is just caressing this guy, you know, Haku's face. Is there's something slightly beautiful to it with right. Several asterisks. And even, you know, how sometimes you read yeah. things and they have an asterisk and then they have a cross and then they have a couple other things to show that there's yeah. many footnotes.
Right. I think it's important to, like, bring attention to all the reasons that it's problematic and, like, give voices to, like, yeah, 100% get that. It is problematic. There is a lot of yikes happening here for sure. But also, like you said, and like I said, I kind of do like to take my wins where I can get them.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it.
Like, it's like... It's very gray area for sure. Like, there is no black and white here, I think, in my opinion, of, like, you know, it's really cool that this is the way Zabuza goes out, is, like, basically admitting that he loved Haku.
Yeah.
Because they did not yeah. have a father-son relationship in any uh-uh. single fucking way. It was, like, a lover's relationship. And, like, yes, there's an extremely unhealthy power mm-hmm. dynamic that you can talk about, and obviously the age relationship is bad.
Right, like, Haku never was, like... This is a consensual sub-Don relationship. Let's go, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't mean to excuse it as the time, but, like, this Kishimoto did write the original thing in 99.
Okay.
Right.
And that's yeah. about the same time as shit like Gravitation was coming out, which is also deeply problematic, right. but also very deep.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, it's you also don't want to be a person who is making feasts of scraps, or whatever the term is, but I do yeah. think... With all the asterisks, you got to take the W to some extent. And that being said,
for sure.
If someone's, I think my brain is in analogy mode. If someone's, if this was poisoned completely for someone, I think that's totally fair. I'm not trying to change someone's
absolutely.
Opinion. I think that's
yes, absolutely. 110%
fair. That, you know, the scrap of, you know, I don't know how gay Naruto is in the future. I know that Naruto does not end up with Sasuke, so what are you going to do? You know, it. But that being, I don't know, especially, like I said last episode, watching The Untamed on Netflix, which is explicitly based on a boy's love comic, it was like, goddamn, I cannot believe, like, if I was a gay, like, I'm bi, but, like, if I was a 100%, like, a gay teen... being made fun of, you know, the if I watched more Naruto in college after I got made fun of by Andy Tillery, like, the next day, you know, I'm not sure, I don't think I would have done anything, but, like, I could totally see, like, oh, how sweet was that, man? Like,
yeah.
But,
yeah, it's right. It's funny you bring it up, because, like, one of the musical artists who got me through, like, one of my darker times, he publishes music under the name Masita, and you might have seen his, like, retweets. He's been doing, like, the 30-second song retweet things, which people might know him for, but he loves Naruto, and he is gay, and he wrote a song about Naruto and just, like, Haku, and just, like, how he felt like Haku when he was growing up, and, like, he feels like Gaara sometimes, which we'll get into that later, what but just, mean? Like, it's a really beautiful song,
hair?
And it is... he yeah. dyed his hair red to look like I'm not
it.
Joking.
Yes.
Masita fucking rules, and he just plays Minecraft sometimes on his YouTube, which is very soothing.
Oh, hell yeah.
but it is a concrete example of just, like, a gay kid, like, saw this stuff, and it spoke to him deeply, and
yeah.
I feel like that's something that
yeah.
can't be discounted. You
absolutely,
know?
Absolutely. And like I said, like, I do like to take my W's when I can mm-hmm. find them, like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I think that is important to acknowledge as well, like, yeah, it's problematic, but also... And, like, it's fine if that ruins that for some people. Yes. 100%, I get that. But also acknowledging that, like, this is a big win yeah. for other people as well. Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
Yeah, and I think what you should be hearing is us not trying to convince you, but maybe us working through why it yeah. is not ruined for us, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think there's sometimes a situation where you try to demand perfection from things that are trying to push the envelope. And sometimes, a lot of times that makes sense because you don't want to make scraps or feast on scraps. But, like, right. I don't know. I think that leaves a gray area of spaces like this.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's honestly kind of amazing that Kishimoto got away with even with his editor, because, like, he said before, like, I think it was in an interview, but he was just like, I wanted, like, Naruto and Sasuke to me are romantic, but I couldn't do it because my editor wanted it.
Right.
This is a mainstream shonen.
Teams. Right. Oh, man, that would have been so incredible if that could have happened. But he kind of gets away with it a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I personally take this as a win. I think it's cool. I think it's really beautiful the way that Zabuza goes out. Like, I think it's the way all of his emotional barriers, like, crumble in the matter of, like, minutes by just, like, Naruto and Haku's doing, and then, like, the snow, and then just, like, the crying, and then, like, even Kakashi being like, you know, Zabuza, like, maybe you won't end up in hell. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. So. Even Kakashi, like, takes mercy on him when he sees that fucking love. And,
right. Mm-hmm. No. So I think it's a good moment, and I think it's a really incredible way to just end the Zabuza arc.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And it's such, like, a emotional and, like, subtle? As mm-hmm. subtle as Naruto can be, way?
Right, right.
Jesse, let me find that fucking song. I'll send it to you. It's called Lord Fifth. And it's about Gaara.
Oh my God.
And also Haku. And, you just
scream. Love to scream.
After all that, they bury the two together, and Sakura questions if living like an emotionless tool is actually bad? Naruto agrees and says he decided to find his own ninja way. His freaking Nindo. We love our boy. We've decided to follow him until we are dead.
Yeah. Him saying the way of Naruto after being like, fuck capitalism, fuck all of this bullshit, and like, instead of being like, I'm gonna find him, like, no, buddy, it's the bongo boy time. I just let's get zany now, which I love. It's still within theme of, like, obviously Naruto is not gonna be like joining DSA or anything like that. He's gonna be like,
oh my God.
It's got to be Naruto time now.
Right.
To love.
Well, and like this moment, it kind of seems small, but it literally sets up Naruto's character arc for pretty much the rest of the entire series.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a baby ninja is basically seeing, like, this sounds to me the same as him screaming, I'm going to be the Hokage. But you can definitely see how it's different. It's not just him saying, he's outlining the path as opposed to the destination, I think.
Right, right, right.
Which rules.
Yeah, and he actually has some experience to back
it up. Yeah, I think it's so funny because in the next episode, they're like, Naruto yet again is like, stop sending me on these shitty quests. I'm like, bro, did you not watch the last arc and how shitty that was for all of you? You thought Sasuke was dead. Shut up, idiot boy.
I think I literally took the same note down of, like, can't believe he's already complaining about this.
Yeah. That's next episode shit.
He just wants to see the life leave someone.
Yeah. He, like, literally starts over with drinking expired milk. It's like, oh, we've learned nothing, have we? We've learned nothing.
I was like, don't drink the old milk, Naruto, please.
Yes. All right, so let's finish up.
Yeah.
Episode 19, at the very end, the bridge is finished. It's time to say goodbye to poor asshole village. End of the pilot. Inari and Naruto challenge each other to a don't cry off and both lose. God. They name the bridge after Naruto.
The Great Naruto Bridge. There it
is. Stupid ass name.
I'm extremely excited to see how this comes up in Shippuden and Boruto and whatever stuff like that. I could totally see myself squealing with delight when someone like, I just walked over Naruto bridge, I'm like, yo, what up? I think I did Google Inari to see if I could get spoiled. I don't think I saw anything interesting, so I'm not gonna Google it again.
Does he show up in Shippuden?
That's a good question. I like to delete his existence as soon as I'm done with him.
Okay, he is in Shippuden.
That rules. Sakura throws Naruto off the bridge, which I thought was so fucking funny. Because she says, boys are so emotional. And then Naruto does something stupid, and she's like, bye.
Yep. No, you gotta die now. Sorry, yeah.
Meanwhile, like, Kakashi and Sasuke get these freeze frames where they're both just like, that's our boy. Da, da, da.
We love him, don't we? For different reasons.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Episode 20, a new chapter begins. The Chunin exam.
We're in it, kids.
Ugh. We're back in the village, hidden in the leaves, and Naruto's back on his poor food safety and screaming bullshit.
The fact that we have gotten back to Naruto sleeping in his pink seal?
Cute seeping clap. I think it's a
seal. Walrus?
Yeah.
I think we need to give a round of sound for all of us for making it, right? Like, come on, friends. And all of the listeners out there.
I'm extremely excited for the Chunin exams. Yeah. I'm so excited for the Chunin.
This is the arc that I stopped. We're still 8-ish episodes away, maybe more, from when I stopped. I don't really remember. But yeah. We're in the arc to which we're going to be close. A couple more episodes of Naruto Revuto to where I enter the, I don't know, there's a frog coming up at some point zone.
Hell yes.
Perfect.
Sasuke and Naruto have weird rival vibes after returning from the bridge mission. Naruto, because he got saved by Sasuke, and Sasuke, because people exist that are stronger than him.
I was screaming at the TV, which was... I was like,
they shared like an intimate moment and they never talk about it
right.
again.
Right.
And like, maybe that's why they're so angry is because they had this like deep connection moment and now they're babies and they don't understand how to like move forward with that moment. So they're just mad at each other now.
Yeah. He told Naruto about his fucking blood feud. Like,
yeah.
He plays that shit close to the chest.
Right.
Yeah, go back to February 19th for my hot tweet. Every our relationships with my 26 male roommate, 26 male, has been really nice to me lately, and I'm sad when he's not around. Advice post starts exactly like this, which is, you know, their entire relationship of, you know, the boys have overwhelming emotions at each other, and what do I do about it? And I think the fact that they kind of rewind back to pre-Zabuza arc is really funny and good, actually. And it works. Mm-hmm. And especially
because... for, like, their ages.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're still children. And Sasuke, or Sakura, points it out, which I think is pretty hilarious.
Yes.
Kakashi rolls up late as per usual, and Naruto asks him for more challenging missions where he can watch even more people die.
Yeah. I was also yelling at TV, and I was like, Naruto, you just got back from a real fucking mission. Oh, my God.
Like, I am not ready for it as a TV watcher. Please, Naruto, have friendly feelings towards me.
He's tasted blood, and he wants to. Instead, they are on a weed-pulling mission, where Naruto accidentally digs up an entire herb garden like the animal he is.
Herb, you know what I'm saying?
Dumb. Oh, my God. You know, and then he gets a black eye. This lady literally punched
so
him.
So funny.
That, who knows, that lady could be a fucking sergeant, colonel, major. Like, they live in military town.
That's true.
If you break up someone's herb, you deserve it, is my opinion.
How fucking dare you uproot my fucking Thai basil.
Oh my god.
Naruto, well, I'll kill you, I'll snap your neck.
I was gonna enter the extremely hilarious zone of what if it's drugs.
There you go. Oh, yeah. I mean, pulling all that sweet
the ganja.
That is a punishment worse than death.
It's true.
Further hijinks include Naruto about to go over a waterfall and die, only to be saved by Sasuke, and walking a gigantic dog into a literal minefield. Naruto just wants to one-up Sasuke. Sakura is pissed, and Sasuke is disinterested. Teamwork. bad.
You were bad, yeah.
My note was, how is the river this dirty?
Yeah, there's like 20,000 like cans of Coca-Cola in right. there.
Like, Hidden Leaf Village, they love to pollute. Bro, you have environmentalism in your name. Be chill.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, no. I love this extremely ruthless call out from Sasuke to Sakura of like, bitch, you're worse than Naruto.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, do you want to go like train together? And he's like, fuck no, you'll drag my ass down. You don't even know how to stab
rude. Me. But you know, maybe sometimes you need a tough love or whatever the phrase would be.
Right. And like, I am happy that Sakura is at least self-aware that she's so bad. Like, she even is like, yeah, I did nothing the last arc. That one's on me, y'all.
This is the closest where she's been like, I don't deserve this broadly, but I do deserve this specifically.
Yes. Yeah. That's good. Master of Disguise, Konohamaru and his two dipshit friends roll up in a box, Solid Snake style. They're all wearing goggles because they want to be like Naruto. Naruto blows them off because he doesn't want to play with children. Oh, go ahead.
These are Tim's favorite characters.
My notes are, oh no, oh fuck, this baby ninja bitch and his awful bitch squad. No, oh fuck, it's awful. And then my hit tweet of, I'm quitting the podcast.
Can we talk about how this elementary school girl is just like, I'm the ninja with sexy style. And it's just like, no, 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 no. Pump the brakes, my child.
So I will say in the dub, they say sassy.
Oh.
Because in the sub, she's just like, I will fucking kill you with my sex appeal. And Naruto's just like, Jesus Miss? Christ.
Yeah, right? Ooh, you're a five-year-old, ma'am. Can you take a seat?
There is less of an age difference between Naruto and her than Zabuza and Haku. That is not the point.
Oh, God, you're not wrong, and that hurts.
I shouldn't have said it. You're not wrong, but you shouldn't say it. Yeah, I do love how bad this is, because you're just reminded. It feels like it's trying to be a foil for itself of, like, here's Sasuke and Naruto and Sakura being bad, mean ninjas. But luckily, you know, Kakashi and Sakura are kind of, like, commenting on it, and then you see the little children that suck and no one likes them, but then luckily baffling makeup man shows up.
Konkoro. Okay, I do want to say quick, I did laugh a lot at the dichotomy of Sakura and the children, and when she punched Naruto, I did laugh.
This is when Jennifer walked in. And me and her were just cackling at this whole scene. Because they call her, like, fat and ugly or, like, something. They were so mean to... And then eventually they call her, like, big forehead. But, like she deserved to destroy these children in Naruto.
Absolutely. And, like, I love when she's walking away. Yes. And then, like, the lines get really thick on her. And she just, like, they do, like, the, like, three shot of, like, triple close-up on her slowly turning
around. And she sounds like a robot turning around. Yeah, it's so... They shouldn't keep leaning on this, like, make fun of Sakura thing, but without earning it, I guess. But, like, this time, it's very funny because she destroys all of them.
It was funny. Because
Konohamaru was just like, yo, is this your girlfriend? And Naruto's just like, how do you know?
It must be.
She beats Naruto. She kicks his ass. And then, like you said, as she's walking away, Konohamaru is just like, listen, that big forehead, like, I should have known.
She ain't for you, bro.
Yes! And she's our queen of petty, and she just comes back to fucking beat Konohamaru, because she also beats him before. And she's like, I'm going to finish the job. I don't give a shit if you're the Hokage's grandson. I'm going to bury you like a cat turd.
Honestly, we stand a queen for sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Also, proud dads Kakashi and Iruka talk about their son Naruto, which is really cute.
Yes.
And also, we get a quick glance of the other Hidden Leaf teams as their squad leaders seem to be disturbed about something. Uh-oh. They see a bird they know. And they're just like,
that bird shouldn't be here.
Yeah. So, oops, they run into two strange ninjas from the Sand Village. Oh, no. Uh-oh. Konohamaru is about to get choked out by one of them when Naruto tries to save them, but he gets tripped up by jutsu magic and dunked on.
Okay.
Kenkuro, the child choking sand ninja, is about to punch Konohamaru for fun, but Sasuke saves him by throwing a rock from a tree. The only person allowed to punch Konohamaru is Sakura, I guess.
Oh my god.
So we get introduced to three new characters on Kankuro, Temari, and Gaara. I would die for Temari and Gaara. Kankuro's a little bit on the line. He makes a strong comeback later
on. Okay.
I like him.
I like him too. I will say, like, okay, so Shikamaru is like my number one, and then I often say there's kind of just like an anamorphous, like, blob of characters that are my number two, and Temari and Gaara are both in that group.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Gaara except for the fandom loves him. I don't know why. I think he fights Rock Lee at some point. I'm not entirely sure, but he.
Buckle up!
I love Gaara so fucking much, and I love Temari so fucking much, and Kankuro is also very good. I do like Kankuro. It's not that I don't like him. He's just a little rougher on the edges, I think. He's not in the number two blob for me.
Yeah.
But he's still good.
I think I just like his jutsu.
His jutsu is extremely cool, for sure.
Well, I mean, when he's introduced, and it looks like he just has Naruto says, I think, in the end of the, like, outro, is like, this fucking dude with a mummy on his back, and I think I've seen what he has in his back, but I don't really remember if I have. So since I forget, I'm like, I think he just has a guy on his back because he looks like it has hair because it's not animated well enough.
Just a boy.
Yeah. But like, I'm like, wait, is this something that's like filled with bees? Is he the bee man? I don't remember. That's the problem.
I will say he is not the bee
okay,
boy.
Okay, yeah, that's the problem with like being super confused about everything is like, where's the bee guy?
It's extremely fun. I like love doing this with Tim being the new watcher because like it's so fun to. This is such like a rare like delectable delight of seeing someone new to to Naruto, which like never happens.
Yeah,
it's very fun to like see that.
Well, yeah, I'm glad that we got burnt out on watching Naruto back in the day so that this show could exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good treat. Also, when they see Sasuke save Konohamaru, the children are just like, oh, fuck Naruto. We have a new king with which to dress like.
Sasuke's, like, too cool. Like, he's so cool. It's almost annoying, like, how suave and cool he is just 100% of the time. Like,
wait.
He nails his coolness every single time.
Wait.
And also, every single girl that literally lays eyes upon him and is suddenly like, oh my god, I'm in love. And it's like, it's so annoying, like, just how top tier they made it.
Yeah! Every girl wants to give kiss.
Yes.
Are you saying that it's justified? Or are you saying it's annoying when the show makes you think that Sasuke is top tier? Because I will answer, Sasuke sucks, and they immediately always have girls be like, ah! That's my...
I think it's a two-parter for me. I think it's really annoying that every single girl has to be in love with Sasuke every single time. I think that Sasuke being as cool as he is justified, like, fighting-wise and, like, skill-wise. I think that that's justified with the show, and I think I get annoyed by it personally, but I think it's fine. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's just me and my pettiness being like, this character can't exist. He's too perfect.
Well,
almost.
I cannot wait till I think he's good. And then I cannot wait till I think he's cool and then perfect. Right now, I just think he sucks.
For me, like, Sasuke, he's a more neutral character for me. Like, I don't have strong love for him. I also don't hate him. But, like, he's a much more of, like, a neutral character for me. So it is harder for me to, like, pull out emotion for him.
Sasuke is a dickhead. He's an absolute bellend. But he is a good orphan foil for Naruto. Because, like, he's another person who is deeply alone. But instead of Naruto, who has everyone hate him, Sasuke has everyone who fucking loves him.
Yes.
And I would argue that's just as lonely.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, you like me because I'm cute.
Right.
Like,
Right.
Also,
right,
it's
right.
very funny to watch Naruto and, as we see later, Rock Lee completely get dunked on by, accidentally by Sasuke, because everybody wants to kiss him.
Everyone wants to kiss him.
Yeah, that running joke is funny, and I hope it continues.
So before Konkuro can attack Sasuke, a third sand ninja named Gaara, ya boy with the gourd, stops him. Sasuke's strong ninja alarm goes fucking apeshit. Meanwhile, all the squad leaders get called in to talk to the third Hokage, who tells them that 7 days from today, the Chunin exam will begin!
I did write down in all caps here, Crystal Ballroom is back.
Yes! He's like, come into my ballroom. It's a room for my ball. And also, it's a ballroom.
Oh my god.
Episode 21, Identify Yourself. Oh, Powerful New Rivals. I laughed very hard at this title.
The title is very funny. I also wrote Blee's new opening. I bet.
Yeah, it's weird they didn't have one last episode, but whatever.
The Sand Ninjas are here to participate in the Chunin exam and are apparently all scared of Gaara.
Yeah. Gaara is a dick. He's the Sasuke of them. Of Sand Clan.
He's a meanie.
He is.
I have a question. When you're reading when you're watching in the sub and or reading the manga, is the kanji on Gaara's forehead translated?
No.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Which is just like, damn, if imagine being a Japanese reader and seeing that shit on his head and being like, right. What?
So I'm assuming you guys know what it says?
Yes.
Yeah.
Should I not Google it, I guess?
And, like, it's weird because I'm like, do we treat it as a spoiler or not? Because to a Japanese audience, it's not a spoiler because it's just literally a word written on his forehead. But to an English audience, I almost think it is a spoiler.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, yeah.
Half of me wants to tell Tim and just see his reaction.
All right.
But half of me wants to keep it a secret.
All right. If you don't want to hear where the kanji is, skip forward 30 seconds. Let's go.
Yes, yeah. Gar's face tattoo says love.
I was not prepared for this. Wow, I thought it was like fucking zombie or undead or unclean. He says love? Whoa, not ready. I wish you gave me some heads up for this. That's not a spoiler at all. What the fuck?
Yeah, so this hard-ass dude, everyone's scared of him, has what seems to be extreme eyeliner. Someone help him. And the face tattoo that says love on his
Jesus
head.
Jesus fucking
on his
Christ.
Precious little forehead. That's a flex.
Ooh,
that's a
buddy.
It is. I'm so mean, but I also love tattooed under my forehead. We've broken Tim.
Gar's a SoundCloud rapper.
Yeah, X9 or whatever his name is. Kakashi.
Kakashi 69. Oh,
Jesus fucking Christ. Seriously? That's good.
So Sakura tries to citizens arrest them, and they smugly fill her and Naruto in on the exam.
Sakura really put on her, like, cap uniform and was like, hold on a minute.
She's such a hall monitor.
Yeah.
Gaara and Sasuke exchange names, but nobody wants Naruto's name. Even more haters appear in the trees to gauge power levels. Who could they be? All the first-year Genin squad leaders nominate their teams to participate. Is it Genin or Genin? I never know.
In the dub, they say Genin, but I don't know if that's Genin.
Genin, yeah. Genin. They nominate their teams to participate. If they pass the exam, they will advance to being Chunin, which hence the name Chunin exam. Iruka says, no, they're babies. You can't nominate them. They're too whittle. But Kakashi tells them to go fuck himself.
I do love that. And I'm sorry, I'm going to say feral for the 100 millionth time, but Kakashi literally goes feral and starts growling. Iruka goes feral and starts growling at Kakashi at the idea of entering these babies into the church.
Right, because he's like, you are throwing my second grade ninja class into the fucking grinder. And he's like, hey, it's not a big deal. I wrote down dad
I
fight.
Do, yeah. because Kakashi was like, I was a wee lad when I did it.
Dude,
why can't they?
I'm sure you...
Yeah, he's like, I was fucking 6 years old. I would have just been born when I became a chunin. Like, I slid out of my mother and became a chunin.
I was covered in placenta and I was a chunin. Whatever. I assume that you guys maybe know more about this, but when I heard that Kakashi was such a tiny baby when he became a chunin, and I was like, what the fuck? This dude, he needs therapy maybe more than Naruto. What the heck is happening? Society.
He needs big therapy, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's an understatement, man. Ooh, boy, can't wait till we get to that show. Yeah.
So far, I know. He loves the death rock of dead people.
yes, that's actually a very important thing to remember. So...
I'm still no Gaara.
The Hokage's just like, oh my god, shut up. Fine, I'll do a prelim exam to see if the children are qualified. Kakashi tells Team 7 that he's recommended them for the exam and hands them their applications. He tells them that if they want to take it, they can, but if they don't feel like it, that's chill too. Naruto and Sasuke are horny to fight, but Sakura isn't really feeling it.
I've decided...
So I will say we do get like two new characters introduced for the most part. We get Asuma, Sarutobi, and we also get Kuranai, and I'm sorry, I forget her last name.
Kuranai is wife.
So
that's the girl I was talking about before, and I'm like, am I supposed to be horny at her with her mesh? What's happening? What are they wearing?
Yes.
And then last episode where the bird flies over, and you can see like her 110% cleavage, like, oh, I still don't know any more information about how this works, but... There's her boopos.
She has beautiful wavy hair, but she also has terrifying red eyes, and she looks too much like a rabbit for me to wife her.
That's a plus.
It is funny because Tim said my wife is in the new episode, and I immediately was like, "Oh, Tamari?
Yeah.
Whoa. What are you talking about?
She is baby. I will say
I have Shippuden in my brain. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
You got Shippuden brain.
I'm Shippuden brain.
You're on an advanced level.
Yeah.
I will say, Asuma, I will always have a weak spot for Asuma. I don't know what it is. I love boys who are sad with beards who smoke cigarettes. Oh, shit, I married this.
Yeah, he definitely looks like a Cowboy Bebop character of, like, a beard with
Asuma
no mustache. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Asuma is so supremely good. He's so, such a good fucking character. I also just love Asuma. Kuranai, I think, is also very good. You know, they rob her because she's a woman, so.
Yeah. She scared me. She's too scary for me to kill.
I feel like you guys sharing your opinions are spoilers now. I'm just saying. Just kidding.
No, okay.
But seriously.
Oh, sorry.
I'm seriously just kidding, but seriously. No, I appreciate it. I think it is more fun on my end of hearing. You see that dirtbag trash shit boy? He's cool. He's my second favorite character in Naruto. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, God. I will say, too, like, Kuranai has really, really good moments, for sure. Like, she gets incredible face-offs, and she's very, very powerful. I'm not trying to say that she's not that. It's just that the woman in this show, she gets done it as well.
She's so powerful that I cannot kiss her. That's So, Naruto's just about to play with the Konohamaru 3, but a rando ninja kidnaps one of them. Naruto gives chase and is about to corner him, but the kidnapper demands the Hokage's Scroll of Sealing as ransom. Jesus. Meanwhile, the impossible happens, and Sasuke asks Sakura out for a walk. He tells her to give up on the chunin exam because she'll probably fucking die. The same ninja as the one Naruto saw shows up and fights Sasuke. But oh no! Sasuke gets stabbed by billions of kunais.
Seems familiar.
Yeah, I gotta say, I thought that they were doing Sakura wrong. So I was like, you dumb fool. You fucking idiot. Here we are again.
Oh, I also want to bring up that Naruto is confirmed a smelly boy.
Oh my god.
He's not changing his underwear and brushing his teeth. Yeah!
I respected it.
He has orphan hygiene.
I'm on his side here. Sometimes you be so busy that you cannot wear new underpants or brush your teeth. And that's fine, you know? That's not a big deal. Come on.
Oh my god.
But you know he doesn't know how to wash his ass because no one has to teach him. So he's double
stink. This is society. Oh, Jesse, God. This is society yet again. He is not smelly. Society is. His stench is society. Thank you.
Back to Naruto, he used the switch place jutsu and clone jutsu to save the little girl. He captures the kidnapper as well. But oops, kidnapper used substitution jutsu too. Womp womp. Sakura cries over Sasuke's dead body, but then goes, JK, I knew this was genjutsu from the start because Sasuke would never ask me out.
Yes. Yes.
Sad.
The multiple cell phones. Sakura's really a mood in this episode because, yes. Like, first of all, the guy's like, you can, or fake Sasuke is like, I don't think you should go to the tuning exam. And Sakura's like, yeah, bro, you're probably right. Right, I probably shouldn't go because I'm going to die. And then she defeats the genjutsu by being like, Sasuke would never ask me out, you insane person.
Fucking woof. Ow. Yeah, and she's just like, you're not even fucking here. I know that because I'm smart as shit. She's a queen. And once she defeats him and sees through the genjutsu, she's just like, ah, shit, I still don't know if I should take the chunin
exam. Oh my god, yeah. That was
just another mood.
This was so chaotic for me because I was like, Naruto's dude is real. Why is this guy's dude not real? Like, when he threw that umbrella, I'm like, he could still have a real umbrella. And then he didn't, which I mean, I obviously have to stand for Sakura to the day I die now.
Mm. Also, worth mentioning, I'm 99.9% sure this prelim test wasn't in the manga.
Oh, really?
So this was just added in to pad time.
Okay.
Sasuke, meanwhile, is kicking the third version of that same ninja's ass. It's just like, it doesn't even bother showing.
Yeah.
He just like kicks him and it's just like.
I love that. Yeah, exactly. They don't even show whatever his weird thing was because it's like, you guys, you all know he figured it out, right? Like, we don't even have to like deal with it.
We just assume Sasuke barely even had to be tested.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Turns out that random ninja, Iruka in disguise, and all of the rookies passed. Ooh. He caused a stink for nothing. And Sakura shows up to the exam after all. Some shitty leaf ninja are preventing the examinees from entering the exam room, but it turns out that's just a genjutsu designed to weed out the idiots who can't count floors. Sasuke actually gives Sakura a compliment.
I know.
A fucking diamond in the rough.
Jesus,
moment.
This is so. I was like, is this fake again? I was all turned around.
Oh yeah, this is a bamboozle for people who forget how many flights of stairs they've walked.
Yeah, that was supremely stupid. Of like, wait a second, does the first floor go to the second floor or the third floor?
But the numbers say three.
This was wild that, like, everyone in the room got... especially some particular characters that happen to be in the room that I know, could see past this shit.
A lot of dum-dums. So, just as Sasuke is about to fight the leaf hater boy, a bull-cut knight steps in to stop the fight. It's your boy,
Rocky! He's here! God!
He is here!
The Short King himself shows up, looking perfect.
Yes.
Bowl cut in place, eyebrows thick, onesie belted in the middle. Yes. He immediately asks Sakura out and vows to protect her until he dies.
I said that the reason...
Sakura should have said yes, though.
Yeah.
But for real.
I said that Rock Lee is a wife guy, and that's just why I like him. And we are the same.
He is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you see this, and immediately you could think, like, oh, this is some simp shit. Like, this is a weak boy who's coming into their replies and saying, m'lady.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, you're correct. It is wife guy energy. It is a step above.
Yes.
Yeah. Rock Lee never goes down the dark path of white knightery. And also, Sakura's just like, fuck no.
Good,
yes. I want to look at Sasuke.
Yeah, I do love that Sakura's like, oh, no, this is way too weird
it's,
for me.
It's not the most chill introduction to a character for him to be like, please, beautiful queen, let me smell your feet. Let me wash your feet. Queen, please, please, queen, please. But you got to take him when you get him.
It was definitely a choice. We also get introduced to two other characters very, very briefly. So Neji, who is like a little tiny bit above the blob of tier two characters for me. Shikamaru and Neji are... Shikamaru is still top, but then, like, Neji's, like, right under there. I love Neji, and apparently no one else does, and I don't care. I still love
him. He's good.
He's good.
He has a lot of emotions, and justifiably so.
Absolutely. Also just love his long hair. And then we also get introduced to Tenten, who is also a very cool character. And she gets cool powers. She's not my blob of number two, but she's liked.
Yeah. She has, yeah, like you said, she has a cool power. It isn't utilized nearly enough.
<Nope. Mm-mm. laughs>
But them's the breaks if you're a woman in Naruto.
I don't know anything about her, but she sounds like, thank Christ, the second good voice actress showing. Or the voice actor.
Yes!
That's fair.
Even though she has, like, very few lines, she delivers them well. It was like, this is weird. Who are you? What's your deal?
Yeah. She's also like, damn it, Rock Lee, why'd you have to step up? We are trying to play it stealth and blend into these other dipshits.
Yes. I do love, like, rewatching, because it's like, yeah, why were they able to push Neji on the ground? Are you fucking kidding me? That's bananas. And then, like, when Tenten's like, we're fake being weak. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that part's right. Cool. And I think that does a pretty good job of setting, like, this up as, I guess if you've watched a lot of anime of, like, a tournament arc or whatever,
I think
it's a pretty quick shorthand. I'm curious if it worked the same way for folks that haven't watched a million animes, but I think it works pretty quickly. The vibe, like, bro, we don't want to show how cool we are.
Yeah, gotta be stealth. So another person for that team, like who we talked about, Neji, asked Sasuke to identify himself. But Sasuke's just like, fuck off, dude. So many strong boys, so little time. And so ends that episode.
Damn.
There it is.
Wow. That ruled.
We're officially in Chunin exam territory.
Yeah.
Though.
Is Neji... I'm not going to ask. I was like, he has Hinata eyes. I don't even know anything.
He does. He does. Don't tell That's me. A yeah. Keep that tucked into your
pocket. Still not over Gaara.
Oh my god, that was like my favorite thing in the whole world.
Yeah, can you imagine being a Japanese reader and being like, oh, sorry, what?
Excuse me.
Yeah, I was not prepared at all for what you said. So. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for listening. I think that as we said, this was a roller coaster of an episode, or episodes of Naruto, therefore a roller coaster episode of Naruto Ryoto. I think this sort of justified the existence of all the very, very, very many Naruto podcasts, and we are happy to be the 86th one in the zone.
Yes.
Hell yes. We are one among many, but we are God's favorite.
That is true. I asked.
So, Jesse, where can we get in contact with you?
Yes, you guys can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Jusifers. That's Jusifers. I did the artwork for the cover of the podcast, and I do other artwork. So if you want to check it out, feel free to do so.
Hell yeah. Commission Jesse. Tim, where can we find you?
You can find me at Tim Lanning. That's where you can see if I'm streaming at twitch.tv/geeklyinc or any other fun shows I do, whether it be Greetings Adventurers, the 5th edition, Actual Play, Dungeons and Dragons podcast, or Dear Internet, the Internet Advice Show, or who knows what other fun things I'm getting up to.
Hell yeah. You can find me at Kim Catties. That's at KYMCATTYS. If you want to follow Transformation Sequence, the anime podcast from Geekly Inc. that is sponsoring this show, find us at Sequence Pod. Vince mostly handles that. So if you tweet to him about Naruto, it'll make him confused, which will be funny. So please do that. You can also listen to me on Love to Hate, which is a podcast where me and my friends talk about things we love and things we hate. And Jesse, where can we find this show on Twitter.com and other places?
Yes, you can find Naruto Review Too at Naruto Review Too on Twitter. And probably also Naruto Revuto on Instagram coming soon. Hopefully by the time you hear this, there will be a bunch of pictures up there. So, yeah. And then you can also email us at narutoreviewto@gmail.com if you guys have any questions or, I don't know, just want to, like, vent. We might do, like, a mailbag episode in the future. So if you do have, like, questions, it can range from, like, anything from, like, our favorite characters or ships to more, like, in-depth research about the show. So feel free to ask.
I'm pretty interested, too, in hearing what, like, queer folks thought about Zabuza and Haku. If we can do it anonymous or whatever, too. I think that is super interesting to me as a 33-year-old watching it now. And I could totally see how that would be a big deal for folks.
Yeah, right. Honestly. Well, that about does it for this episode. Leave us a 5-star rating wherever ratings can be had. It makes us stronger. It'll help us graduate the Chunin exam. But until next time, freaking believe it. If I catch you not believing it, I'll come to your house and ask you to identify yourself.
Identify yourself.
I hated you too, Sasuke. And yet...